Welcome to Aging in Place Strategies and Answers with Linda Prio. Will it be possible to remain in my home as I age? Do I feel safe in my home? How do I figure out how much support I will need when my health needs start to change? What if I decide to move into a community instead? Which community will meet my needs now and in the future? Who will play a role in helping me with decision making? Do you ask yourself these same questions? Aging in Place Strategies and Answers can help you gain practical knowledge that will help you create your own aging in place roadmap. If you are already a care partner, a power of attorney, or in crisis mode with your aging in place strategy, you will learn what you need to know that you don't know. For over 20 years, I have been marketing aging in place services to clients and educating families and healthcare professionals in how to put aging in place strategies into place. When you utilize aging in place, you are allowed to choose where you want to live and make those decisions so that you can retain your quality of life. Welcome back to Aging in Place Strategies and Answers. And we are going to continue to explore community living choices for seniors. Let's focus our attention on continuing care communities or life plan communities, which have been in existence for over a century and were created and run by religious organizations. These communities will not have life plan community or continuing care community in the name of the community, but their website and their signage will show the levels of care available on their campus. The levels of care you will find in a life plan community or continuing care community usually include independent living, assisted living, skilled rehab, plus long-term nursing care. To keep current with market trends, which we discussed, life plan communities have added memory care options such as assisted living memory care or long-term care memory care. Some life plan organizations are for profit and some are not-for-profit. If you are seeking a not-for-profit, religiously affiliated community, ask about their benevolence program that could provide assistance if or when you might run out of money. Some continuing care communities might offer affordable living near their campus or on their campus so that they can serve low-income seniors. Villa-style living might also be included in life plan communities, and these villas are a great first step to living within a life plan community because they offer stand-alone or attached villas with garages. Continuing care life plan communities have contracts and pricing options designed to meet your financial plan and your healthcare needs now and in the future. Brad Breeding, president of My Life Site, industry expert and nationally known speaker, said, ultimately, choosing a CCRC, a continuing care retirement community, comes down to these three questions. Does it offer a lifestyle that is compatible with my needs? Is it operated on a sound financial basis? And does it provide the type of care I would want for myself whenever that day comes? Now, you know that with any choice you make, there are usually some pros and possibly some cons. So here are some pros to the life plan or continuing care community. They offer peace of mind. By offering community living that includes all levels of care, so if your care needs change, you can still be cared for at that community and you would not have to move. They also offer activities, outings, and socialization. One lady that I met at a life plan community told me that she was so glad that she and her husband moved into the community before they got too old to enjoy the activities that were being offered. She said they continued to have the freedom to travel because they did not have a home to maintain. And when her husband started to decline, there was care at the community available to meet his needs. After he passed, she was happy she didn't have to make all these decisions because they had made them together thoughtfully and financially. Well, life plan communities that are not for profit can also offer financial security. Because religious affiliations have been running CCRCs for over a century and may offer additional benefits to seniors who have lived in their community, such as a benevolence option if and when they run out of money. Now, here is an example that I want to share with you. A care manager mentioned to me that her client, a resident at a life plan community, thought she might prefer to move out of the community and move into a community that would offer her daily mass. Because while her community did offer a priest that came on site to do mass 1 to 2 days a week, she felt that personally being able to attend mass daily was in her best interest. She and her care manager did some homework on communities that might offer this option of daily mass, and they came up with about 3 to 5 communities in our area that would offer her that opportunity. But I did mention to her care manager that the life plan community she lived in also had a benevolence option that would continue to take care of her if she should drain her finances. When she shared that information with her client decided that she felt more comfortable being in a community like that and felt that she could attend mass outside the community if she wanted to add a daily mass component to her lifestyle. Many seniors think they can save money by aging in place at home. And that may be true at first. Because of the entrance fee associated with most types of CCRCs, the upfront costs can appear high compared to aging in place at home. But depending upon your lifestyle, the cost of living at home can also add up quickly. Property taxes, homeowners association fees, special assessments, utilities, cable and internet, security, groceries, landscape options and cleaning services, gym and country club memberships, general home upkeep, plus future care. In fact, you may have to make additional investments down the road if you require home accessibility modifications or need to add professional caregiving. And according to the American Seniors Housing Association, it could cost tens of thousands of dollars to modify your existing home for your changing accessibility needs. Now, here are some cons when considering a life plan community. These communities have many different contracts, and you're going to need to fully understand each contract that they present to you and ask questions in a way that you can understand the answers and make notes. So the complexity and the length of their contracts could be or lead to misunderstandings or lack of understanding, as well as confusion. These contracts do make it challenging for residents to fully understand their rights, obligations, and potential risks. Now, this is not to say that this is their intent to make it confusing, but honestly, whatever you are going to commit to, whether it is home improvement, whether it's to buying a car, whether you need a hybrid car, or whether you need an electric car, and what options come with that car, and whether it's really going to meet your need, this is the same mentality that you're going to bring to understanding contracts within a life plan community. You won't be familiar with the terms unless you've been listening to this podcast. You're going to have to learn some additional information in order to decide what contract is really best for you. And so taking your time and really spending time with your salesperson is very important so that you understand your rights, your obligations, and to learn or discern if there's any potential risks. There are buy-in agreement costs. The cost of buying into a life plan community, all of those costs continue to increase, and they can be a stumbling block to those with limited assets or who have already have their money invested in different options. So, buy-in costs and buy-in agreements. And remember that buying into a continuing care community doesn't mean all-inclusive senior living. If you're living in independent living, you're going to have a monthly fee. If you need to move up to the next level of care, you're going to have some additional fees that you will pay for assisted living and skilled nursing care. Many residents who need a higher level of care have not considered these costs when moving into a community. And once they're in a community for long enough, they forget that this was mentioned at the beginning, that even if you come in and you're buying in, there could be additional costs such as room and board or additional meals with each care level as you move through the continuum of care. Now, in order to avoid moving to a higher level of care within the community, you will need to ask for family support or purchase care support to remain independent and safe in your villa or apartment. So those are additional costs that you need to be aware of and think through. Now, here are some additional thoughts you might consider before making your final decision. Be on top of your finances when meeting with these communities. On average, women will need help for 3.7 years and men 2.2 years. of care. I know that you would not want to make an uneducated decision that could put you or your loved one in a financial bind. Find out the financial rating and the health of the community that you are investing in. In fact, you might also want to ask about how many open rooms there are at the community, because the more open beds there are at the community, means that more of the money that's coming in will be spent for operational costs. Recent statistics from CCRCs show that 2/3 of the residents are in their 80s and most are single. Do you see yourself living in a continuing care community? Do you already have friends at the community? Now, in one of the local communities in my neighborhood that has a religious affiliation, it has drawn a lot of church members. They already know each other from church, and they wanted to age together as well. And that was a similar statement that my cousin said during her interview on my podcast. Is her mother came to her and said, I'd like to move into X community. And when she said the reason, you know, what are the reasons why? She said, well, I think I'm ready and a lot of my friends already live there. And I see that happening. So you may be more comfortable going to a community where you already have friends. But you also want to make sure that you're going to be comfortable entertaining your family or having your family come to visit you at the community. Are there private dining rooms or spaces where you can enjoy the community with grandchildren, friends, and other family members? Now, let's take a break to hear from one of our sponsors.
Do you want assisted living services but don't want to leave your home? Call Continuum at 314-863-9912. Our professional team has 20 plus years of experience and will help you create the perfect care solution that meets your current and future needs. Continuum supports independence at every stage of life. Call 314-863-9912 for a free consultation or visit us at continuumcare.com.
Let's get back to the podcast. Those of us who work in senior care consider engaging activities just as important as affordability and amenities. I love looking over community activity calendars to see what is being offered residents. A colleague of mine shared that her mother was being asked to make noodle necklaces during a craft activity. She took the items back to her apartment and gave them to her granddaughter, saying that she was beyond stringing noodles on necklaces. Another lady told me that she was tired of the salesperson telling her about all the great activities that their community offered and how she saw it as an incentive for this lady to consider moving into her community. The lady told me, she said, "I'm a reader and I prefer keeping to myself, and I am never going to choose a community based on activities." Bear in mind that we are all different, so do not base your decision on what others feel that you should be involved in, but how you see yourself living your best life within that community. Care delivery is really important as you require more assistance. What are the staffing ratios and the star ratings associated with their other levels of care? Licensed communities such as assisted living, memory care, as well as skilled nursing are surveyed annually, and those results are available to anyone who wants to see them. My mother had to have a rehab stay, and I remember her asking me how she ended up in rehab. Well, I was able to tell her, "I know you don't remember this because it was so traumatic, but da-da-da-da-da," and I explained the reasons why she now needed a rehab stay. But more importantly, she looked at me and she said, "How come you picked this rehab community?" Well, I knew what she was asking, and I had been waiting for the question. The community I chose had been an old convent, so aesthetically, the rooms had little to no appeal. However, the lobby and the dining room were very nicely decorated. The food preparation was done with excellence, with small portions. It was well balanced and tasty. But even more important, the reason why my mother was there was to get better. And the rehab therapy department had great outcomes. And that is why I chose it. I didn't choose it because the rooms were pleasing. Now, memory care options, what you need to know. Proper assessments are important to determine if it truly is memory loss or something else, some other condition that is mirroring memory loss. I heard a story of a woman, and this was recent, that had been assessed for memory loss. And while she still is showing some signs of memory loss, her confusion was because of her diet and medications that were contributing to the cause of this memory diagnosis. Once her diet changed and her medications were adjusted, her memory loss was not as great as originally assessed. We often ask if there is a change of mental status, if it's possible if the senior might have a urinary tract infection, because those infections present differently in seniors, and sometimes they have the same symptoms as dementia, including delirium, memory problems, confusion, and disorientation. Due to these similarities, UTI symptoms may be mistaken for dementia, and because they can cause dementia-like symptoms and be an underlying condition that was never cleared up, this could be contributing to mental confusion. There is also something called delirium that can occur in a senior who is being moved or who is has been in a hospital or rehab setting repeatedly, but delirium starts suddenly over a period of 1 or 2 days where there is a lot of confusion and symptoms can vary a lot. In contrast, the symptoms of dementia come on slowly over months or even years. Could the memory loss or the confusion be due to medications that are being taken or prescribed? There are any number of prescription and over-the-counter medications that can interfere with or cause loss of memory. And possible culprits include antidepressants, antihistamines, anti-anxiety medications, muscle relaxants, tranquilizers, sleeping pills, and pain medications given after surgery. In addition, when folks are talking to us about memory loss, we always want to know if they might have a diagnosis of depression or stress or anxiety, because it could be that instead of memory loss. Did you know that depression has been linked to memory problems, such as forgetfulness or confusion? It can also make it difficult to focus on work or other tasks. It can make it difficult to come to a conclusion or make a decision or to think clearly. Stress and anxiety can also lead to poor memory, and depression is associated with short-term memory loss. It doesn't affect other types of memory, such as long-term memory and procedural memory, which controls motor skills. So it is very important to get a professional assessment, making sure that the tests or screenings are given properly. It's just as important as the test itself. Your physician can provide a memory screening, but make sure you ask for a consultation appointment rather than a 10-minute doctor visit. A neurology appointment might take longer to get, so make sure you call ahead. But you can also consider other options to get a mini mental assessment. You can check with the Alzheimer's Association. You can check with other perhaps universities or colleges in your area that offer a memory program like we have in our area. You could find not-for-profits that are able to do these assessments for free. Care managers are also able to do cognitive assessments as well as safety assessments, which can help clients and their care partners learn if community living is the next best step for this senior. Make sure that the assessment is done at a time of day that is best for the client and in an environment free from distractions. Now, a word from our sponsor.
Are you looking for resources on senior living? Check out guideforseniorliving.com for our free online senior resource guide to find senior housing, care, and community connections. Start searching now at guide4seniorliving.com. That's guideforseniorliving.com to find the contact information for senior housing, care, and community connections.
Now let's return to the podcast. Now, let's talk about assisted living memory care. These are secure units offering safety oversight, cueing, redirection, activities specific for memory care residents, as well as help with dressing, grooming, bathing, medication administration, meals, and housekeeping. And most memory care communities are small and offer either private or companion rooms. Assisted living memory care communities are licensed and require an assessment for potential residents. Although the licensure will be similar from community to community, the level of memory loss they are able to care for could be different. I have done a little local research in this area and have found that some assisted living communities prefer residents who are using a walker or a wheelchair for outings and are at beginning to mid-stage dementia. While most communities offer aging in place, meaning the resident would not need to leave the community as they age, there are exceptions to this rule. If the resident becomes more than a one-person transfer or has care requirements above their licensure or has increased behaviors due to their advanced dementia, they might have to seek a higher level of care. Many memory care communities offer all-inclusive pricing, but not all. So as care needs progress, there might be additional fees included. Long-term skilled memory care is licensed, usually all-inclusive, and is able to take residents who have increased care needs. It can be Medicaid eligible for those with fewer assets, but not always. So be sure to ask about the financial commitment. This level of care is for those with advanced dementia or late-stage dementia with advanced care needs such as catheter, feeding tube, wound care, etc. Residents at this level might require the use of mechanical lifts to get in and out of bed or who are unable to toilet themselves. Residents who are exit-seeking will be offered a secure environment, and it probably will include a secure fenced outside area ensuring the person with memory loss will remain safely within the community. At times, those with dementia will exhibit behaviors that an assisted living community would not be able to work with, and those folks could be better served in this kind of environment. So here we are at the end of our discussion about community living, the different kinds of communities that we're seeing that are popping up on every corner, and I have helped you to get a high-level point of view of what these communities are offering. Now, bear in mind that not everybody will be able to afford community living, which is why this podcast is so valuable to you, because we're talking about care at home. We've been talking about veteran care. We've been talking about seniors who don't have as many assets who can look for affordable care. And this is not cookie cutter. This is not everybody's going to do the same thing. This is about each person finding about and looking and searching and gaining knowledge, hopefully before a situation occurs, but at least you will have some guidance about community living and what that entails. So I thank you for staying with me and listening to this educational piece on community living. But as always, I want to offer a caregiver tip at the end of the podcast. So here is my caregiver tip for today. Guilt is often a common emotion shared by most caregivers. Why do I feel like I can't do more for my loved one? I feel so bad that I'm feeling stressed, irritable, and impatient. I should be able to handle this situation. Being overly dependent on a primary caregiver can lead to these kinds of feelings. So please accept that this is part of being a caregiver and learn from others who have been where you are. The Alzheimer's Association says that families that have been through this process say that it is best to gather information and move forward so the person that needs the care gets the care that they need. Isolation, lack of socialization, has been shown to reduce cognitive function in older adults. Here are some additional questions that will help you evaluate if it is time to gather assessments, information, costs, and memory care options. Is the person I'm caring for with dementia unsafe alone? Are they requiring more oversight in order to be safe? How long do I trust them to be safe at home alone? Is my health as a caregiver at risk? And what might happen if I would be unable to care for my loved one? Are the person's current care needs going beyond my physical abilities? Am I starting to neglect my work responsibilities, my family, and myself? Could more socialization and stimulation benefit this person? And what are my options? Don't worry, caregivers. All the information you need is right here in this podcast, Aging in Place, Strategies and Answers. Please share it with your friends, and I look forward to being with you the next time. Thank you for joining me today. Please remember that this podcast is intended as guidance and not advice. Share this podcast with friends and family who are currently in crisis mode or with people who would like to start developing their own roadmap for aging in place. Listeners, if you would like a deeper dive into a topic discussed during a podcast, please subscribe to Aging in Place Strategies and Answers, where you will be able to access premium content. Or if you would like to suggest a topic for this podcast, please contact me at linda.agingstrategies@gmail.com. As always, I value the time you spend with me.